I want to go on to what I wanted to share with you today. But actually my message is about an announcement, and this message is not quite easy to share because it's, like we got new people who are joining us. We also have people who are stepping down from their roles. And this message is even harder because it's my own announcement. Alright, so I just want to be upfront with you guys at the beginning of this night to say that I'm going to step down from my role as a pastor, as well as the head of the youth ministry. For those of you who are rather young and you don't really understand how the church works, basically we have different pastors lah who are overseeing the church. In our case, we are quite privileged to have myself, to have Tina, have Sam who oversee you. Not every youth ministry have a very big team. Three is considered quite big already. But for me, I'm going to resign. Means that I will stop my full-time ministry term. I will no longer be your pastor. By the definition of organization, because I believe that actually in the Bible, God also calls us, right, to be pastors, whether you are employed or not employed. And in that, I will also be stepping down, right, as the pastors who's overseeing the youth ministry, as well as overseeing the team of pastors, alright. To give you a bit more of the details, my last date will be on next February, right, 2018. So we still have about another 5 more months to go. Alright, I think I want to kind of break out of the norm. You know, in usual youth service we'll be preaching and we're talking about the Word of God, what that's been, etc. So today I want to take the whole message basically to explain to you how I came to this decision, what the reasons involved, and what's going to happen next, right? Because I tend to think of myself not really as a very special, I'm a very ordinary person, right? So to take half an hour to talk about my life, I feel a bit like, wow, as if like, I'm so somebody important like that. But when I really think through, I felt that it's important, right, for me to actually use this platform to address you, because I actually see the role of a leader, you know, as important. I take it very seriously, and I do believe that I'm accountable to you. I owe it to you to explain, like what I said, the reasons and behind it, and as well as what's going to happen. All right. I also don't know how to share this the best I can, because I look at you. There are like, I guess, about 300 plus of you. Some of you, to be honest, I barely know you. Some of you, you are pretty young. I really do not know whether when you come to church, do you know what's going on? Do you look at the man on the stage and think like, so who is this like man with some gray hair, you know? Yeah, who is he? Right? But yeah, I also see a lot of familiar faces, right? Those of you who I can almost say I literally see y'all grow up lah. Right? Some of you, really very attached to you. I think you might be also. So I guess it might be a very heavy announcement for those of you who are hearing from me about this, especially for the very first time. But in case there are any one of you who are like, actually I don't really bother when I come to church who is the pastor in charge. I just ask that you bear with it, right, for the sake of those who really find that it's an important decision for me to communicate. Okay, but maybe y'all take a deep breath first, lah. You're like, yeah, I think you're like, wow, this kind of message, don't know whether to, you know, relax or to, yeah, sit up or what. But I just try to keep it as easy for you to understand as much as I can. Okay, so I just want to also share with you, some of the reasons why I'm going to move off. And I thought that maybe I should just share it the way that I shared with the leaders not too long ago, alright? So to do that, I'm going to share a little bit of how I actually ended up in full-time ministry. Is that okay? It's going to take a while, a few stories. Is that okay, everyone? Yes? Okay, thank you. That yes affirms me, yeah? Alright, so how I started, right? I actually want to start all the way from when I was pretty young, right? When I was age 16, like quite a few of you are here, right? And at the age of 16, I had an encounter with God, right? An encounter with the Word of God. So basically what happened was that I got to know about what the Bible actually says about us being the salt and light, about us needing to go out to bring the gospel to people, about the gospel really meant to be for everyone, right? And that means that as a Christian, right, you know of verses like, for example, Acts 1:8, they talk about how you can be witnesses, right, all the way to the ends of the earth. And to be honest, at the age of 16, after I had been a Christian for 4 years, that was sort of like the first time I got to know about this. Right? Now I look back, it's like, wow, how come it took me that long, you know? Because now I understand, actually it's a very integral part of us being a Christian, right? To be interested about what God wants to do in the world. Right? But anyway, thankfully, at the age of 16, I finally came to know about this mission, this commandment that God has for us. And I would think, at that point of time, I was totally sold out to it, right? I was interested. Therefore, when I go to the school, right, when I went back, it's not just about how well I did in my exams, but it's a lot more about how I can represent Christ to my friends. Right, I also began to think about, like, what does it mean to give God a blank check? Right, and so that was a point of time in my life that I started to think, like, okay, maybe I can really go for missions, right? Start off by going for a mission trip. Maybe I can start to think about what God wants, you know, even for my career. And that was one of those early years that I started to think about, hey, maybe at some juncture, God might call me to serve in the church, right, full time, and maybe play the role of a pastor, right? So that's basically how I kind of started. It was, I guess, for a 16-year-old, quite a big thing, right? But I had one problem, is that I don't know where to start, right? So to cut the long story short, I realized that I needed to return back to the youth ministry. Right? Why return back? Because I drop out. Right? Just like how some of you here, you also drop out at some point of time. Right? So I also drop out. And besides just dropping out, I also backslided. It was like through quite a miraculous event that I got connected with some adults in the, you know, main church. And they kind of discipled me for a year. And then happened that process I talk about, right? Realizing that God's word, you know, telling us that there's a greater mission out there, right? So at a certain juncture, I felt that, you know, to be able to serve God, I need to start somewhere. Okay, I probably can't be a pastor at age 16. Maybe some people can, but I just cannot imagine. Right? But anyway, I decided I have to start somewhere. So I came back, right, to the youth ministry to find an opportunity to serve. It was quite a daunting experience, right? Because I remember the very first time I came to the youth ministry, having not gone through Sunday school, I was really new to everyone, right? And then when I go back, some of my seniors, I think they kind of move on here and there. So when I went back to the youth ministry, I was like really a total stranger, alright? The only person I could recognize was my youth pastor. Right, so I went back, didn't really know who my youth pastor was, as in personally. Right, but I went back anyway for a good 1 year before I started serving. So it's quite a journey for me. Because I went back, there wasn't really anything much I could do to serve. So I just tried to be an active member, right? Be proactive in going for cell, being early for cell, right? Encouraging my friends in the cell. Right? Until one day, one of the pastors made a call, right? And say that, you know what? We have new P6s coming to join our ministry, so we need to have people to serve them. Didn't say what is it, but I just say that we need people. Right? So for me, that was the very first time an opportunity was given. So I just called the pastor and I said, actually, pastor, I want to do it. Right? Unknown to me, I was the only one who volunteered. But there was a whole group of people who were selected by another pastor, right? The main youth pastor in charge, selected by him to also be on the track to serve as cell leaders. Right? So I volunteered myself, and I later on realized that, well, some are chosen, some are not. The volunteer one, only me, right? Nowhere else to place me, so they asked me to go for this leader's training, lah, right, where everyone else would go. So I went, it's like, don't know, like, am I second class or not? But anyway, I just put my heart and mind to being trained, didn't think too much about that. Then later on, after we went through the training, there was a leader's meeting. We still haven't assumed any duties yet, but at the leaders' meeting, the ironic part was that being my first leaders' meeting, I was thinking of like, what do I expect out of this? But at the leaders' meeting, the pastor actually read out his resignation letter. So it's pretty much like he's also sharing, like back then, like how I'm sharing with you. The only difference was that the circumstances that he left wasn't too good. There was a lot of tension at the point of time. So he shared his resignation letter. And the people who heard about it was also struggling, right, to see how things could work. Yeah. So for me, after the meeting, I was like, wow, this is not an easy leaders meeting to be in, because, right, such a heavy thing for a pastor to share. And then during that meeting itself, some of the leaders who also felt very sad about him leaving said that they would leave also on the spot, right? So it was quite a discouraging time. But I guess for me, that was also a double whammy, because after a meeting, my cell leader came to me and she asked me, hey, Peter, why are you here? Right? Actually, you're not invited to this leaders meeting, right? But unknown to me, they just said that, okay, all those who go for the leaders training, you should come. But I wasn't part of the selected few, so actually I wasn't supposed to, right? But I ended up there anyway. And so when my leader asked me, right, okay, I must clarify, I don't think she said it out of any malice. But when I heard it, I was like, okay lah, I think, you know, you don't feel good about yourself. I don't really know how to describe, but you all know what I feel, right? Right? When you feel that you're not quite supposed to be there and you end up there anyway, and then people are like wondering why you are there, right? So I came to this point, it's like, okay lah, I mean, after that, all my youth leaders, the pastor, they all decided to leave. A lot of other people left. By the time we reached the end of the year, we really had just like 10 over people confirmed who want to stay, right? And I was still not decided yet. I also decided maybe I should just leave, but I didn't tell anyone, right? So I remember on the day just before the new year, because we have a new batch of people coming in, so the other pastor who called for people to volunteer, he actually called me, right? And says, hey, Peter, guess what? We actually need people to serve. You want or not? Right, I was thinking, Pastor, in my mind, right, I was thinking, Pastor, you do not know. Actually, I'm at this point of time thinking to leave the youth ministry already. Why are you still calling me to serve? Right, but anyway, he explained the situation and he says that we really need people. And if you don't mind, you come the next day. And then the next day, you'll be introduced to the cell group. And you'll be kind of just observe the teachers. At that time, they call it teachers. Right, and if you can, just assist them a little bit. So what do you think when you will hear what the pastor said? Alright, if you're me, you'll be thinking like, okay, maybe just go and maximum you just be like an assistant leader or if not just like a helper somehow. Right? Then the next day, to my horrors of horrors, I went and I realized that I was the cell leader, right? On the spot when I meet the cell group. Can you imagine what kind of shock that was, right, for me? Yeah, and my cell group was pretty interesting. So I will share this, right, for those of you who hear this 100 times before, right, just bear with me. I always say there's such a difficult cell that, in fact, there was one guy, he was so destructive that he just practically hold meetings bring vulgarities. Right? So I have to, at my very first cell meeting, mind you, right, not even an experienced cell leader, I just told the guy, I think you have to leave the room. I give him a red card. Right? My most memorable cell meeting. Right, so that's how I first started as a cell leader. But the interesting thing is that as I journey along, I realized that there were many other challenges that I faced. Right, so there were just many other leadership journeys that I went through, a lot of obstacles I faced. But the amazing thing that I experienced, and I really have to say this is by the grace of God, was that the more the challenges come, of course, the challenges are painful, so I cry, I prayed and I got frustrated. Yeah. But with these challenges, somehow that sense of conviction I had to serve continued. And in some cases, actually I felt it strengthened. Right? So basically what I'm trying to say is that I look back at my journey and all these years that I've been serving, and I realize that ultimately the thing that gives me, and I believe gives you, conviction is what? It's the Word of God. Right, like I shared, for me, it's really God showing me that our faith is really not about ourselves, right? There's a lot more about us being the salt and light to others. Right? And it was really through this whole idea of getting a big picture of what God wants to do, right, in my life, in our lives, through His Word, that I begin to find that small part, right, as a Christian, it's like a big jigsaw puzzle where my piece actually is. And that's to start somewhere, as a pastor, and before that, even a smaller piece that is to start as a cell leader, right? So I look at it, there is really no way in my own human capacity that I can say that, wow, I can fight off all the kinds of, challenges in my life to serve the Lord. But it's really God's word that gives me that firm foundation, that conviction. Right? So why am I sharing all these things with you? When I want to talk about my stepping down, I want to share with you is that actually at the end of the day, conviction is really very important, lah. Right? So I want to assure you that when I make this decision, of course, I don't think I can say that, wow, I'm 100% sure this is what God wants of me. Alright? But as best as I can, just like in the same way when I first become a pastor, I so cannot say that I'm 100% sure, you know. Yeah? The Lord spoke to me in a burning bush or whatever. But as best as I can, right, I come to this place where I'm convicted, right? And to me, this is really part of my journey, lo, of being convicted in the Word of God, right? And the second thing I also want to share with you all is that I hope this will encourage you, lah, right, in your own journey to pursue the Word of God over in your life, right? So when I really look at myself, I want to thank the Lord, lah, because when I shared with you about my experiences, how I step up, one thing you realize is that my experience is not like the kind that quite dramatic one, right? When you hear, like maybe some people share like how they decided to go on full-time missions, wow, they can share like they experienced a burning bush encounter, you know, God gave them like many, many different kinds of signs and all that. For me, I really don't have those kind of like experience. But what I have is just the Word of God, no? to really guide me. And I remember that, you know, when I read a book not too long ago, it was just talking about leadership, and it was saying one of the trademarks of leadership is that you are slow. Alright, sorry, you are decisive, right? You are able to make up your mind on firm decisions quite quickly, but you are very slow to change your mind, right, about things, right? And that's a secular book, lah, so it doesn't elaborate much more, but I feel that there's an element of truth in it. And the basis for that is really like what I said, for us Christians, is the Word of God that gives us that conviction. So that when you come with any kind of circumstance, you realize that it's not difficult to make a decision because you already make up your mind to follow Jesus. You kind of know the sense of direction. And then when you are into something, it's not that easy for you to just say like, okay, you know what, I will just quit lah. Right? So once again, by the grace of God, I want to say that, you know, I look at myself, there's something I can be proud of, lah. That is, in all my years here as a youth pastor, I don't say quit at all, right? I don't go around telling people that, you know what, wow, that day I just have a fight with Sam, with Tina, I feel like quitting. Okay, not that we have a fight, lah, right? I'm just using it as an example, right? But it's only up to the point that I really think it's time to go, then I start to talk about it. So I never use quitting as a threat to Pastor Daniel or whatever. Right, and it's a decision that I don't take carelessly. So I can just give you all a very rough timeline. It's like almost in way back in 2014, I was really considering this, right? But at that time, I was not sure. So I took about a year or so to pray through on my own, to try to seek God for a certain direction on my own. Only when I was more or less certain, then in pretty much like 2015 is the time that I started to dialogue a bit more from with different people, hear their perspectives. And then only 2116 that I kind of confirm and then, you know, start to think about timeline, etc., right? So not too long ago, this year we kind of confirm things, you know, confirm who's going to take charge, etc. And then after that, right, begin to communicate first to my team of supervisors, then our leaders, etc. Right. So it's about a 3 year plus process. Right. And I also want to say that other than wanting to honor God in this whole process, it's also difficult for me because you guys have over the years really been a part of my life. Right. Even though many of you are very young. Right. But just being here, having the privilege to serve you all, I really don't see that I'm like, better than you or what, but I always seen that I'm here to learn. So I really feel the intimacy lah with different one of you that I've gotten to know. And it's been so long, right, that we have shared moments together. Right? So it's really not a very easy decision for me. Right? But if you want to know, sort of like in gist, why I move, it's really out of that sensing lah, that it's a different time of my life. It's a different conviction. So in a way, it's like two main things lah. One is that I start to begin to see that the marketplace, like what we usually call, right, the marketplace, which is your day-to-day work, can be your school for those of you who are studying. For the adults, it's our jobs, Alright, so most of the adults you know, like your parents, etc., they have a job elsewhere, and this is actually the norm, right? And so, actually, back in 2014, what happened was that I came to a point of time where I realized that it seems like a good juncture lah for me to actually pray to God for a new direction in my life, right? We don't usually do that, but at certain junctures, you might feel a sensing to consider. And it was during that time I began to sense that sort of like whatever I need to do as a full-time pastor was kind of maybe coming to a close, right? And I began to sense more and more like a greater draw, a call to the marketplace, right? And as I began to pursue, then I realized that actually God really has brought me on a journey, right? Because when I came to serve as a full-time pastor, I began to see that, wow, there's a certain sort of like affirmation, right? Previously, I didn't really quite feel that I was ready to be a pastor. But when I began to serve full time, I began to realize that, wow, actually this is an important calling, right, over my life. But the interesting thing is that I started to see that actually as a full time pastor, it doesn't mean that you're only a pastor inside the church, alright? You also have to be a pastor outside of the church, right? You also have to be a pastor to the people you meet outside, you know, and for you guys, right, you might not be a pastor in the church, but I think it's also biblical enough for me to say that you are also pastors in your own right when you go to the school, right? And to be honest, this is sort of like an area of ministry that I've kind of neglected, lah, right? All the years leading up to me serving as a full-time pastor, I've always been thinking about, okay, how can I, like, evangelize to my friends? And then in the church, how can I spend more hours in the church? So to be honest, right, some basic things like, for example, in the school, like doing well in your schoolwork. Actually, after I became on fire for Jesus, I seldom think about doing well in my schoolwork. Oh, actually before that also don't, but that's because I play a lot. Alright? And then of course in the army, you know, you guys know, you'll be like, can book out and do other things or not. Right? But I began to realize that, hey, actually even things like the way you work, the excellence you bring to your work is very important, right? So to cut a long story short, I began to realize more and more that actually the marketplace is really something that we need to be able to influence. And previously, what I tried to do is to empower you guys to be the one to make a difference in your respective marketplaces. But as I journey on, then first thing I sense is that it's time lah for me to be also like you guys, one of those who go out into the marketplace to be a blessing to them. Alright? So later I might revisit this point again. Right? But the second thing that really kind of changed is my whole idea of church lah. So I think if you all remember, right, back in 2014, what's our youth ministry vision? That's your 10 words. You all remember? Louder? Being a kind of people God wants us to be, right? Very good. You all still remember, even though I didn't mention it that often, right? Yeah. And one of the things I said about it is that actually, who is the church, or what is the church? Who? What? You, right? Me, right? We are the church. It's really not this building, right? It's not this program that we are running, right? And I began to realize that church has to be a lot more dynamic, lor. Then it has to be a part of your life. And of course, it means a lot of different things. But in the context of like my work in KUS, I began to realize that actually it's something to be shared. Right? It shouldn't just be something that only a few people do. Right? So I also began to see that in time to come, definitely it's part of my calling that I don't just go outside to work. But it's also part of my role as what is called a marketplace person. Then to come back to still serve, right? So I do feel that maybe there are some things that I have still yet to accomplish, right? In the for the church, for KUS. But I feel that more or less that season of having to do it as a full-time staff is over. But there's a lot more that I can still give as a member, lah, like you guys like that, right? So maybe at that point of time is my turn, alright, to feedback to the pastors, you know, how things can be better, etc. Right, but that's my journey, lor. Really, these two reasons of seeing the importance of marketplace ministry, as well as seeing the importance of so-called lay people, like members like you, continuing to play a part, you know, in the church. Right? So these are my primary reasons for deciding to move on. I thought it's also helpful for me to share why next year Feb. Right? Because as I mentioned next year Feb, right? I don't know whether any of you think, so why next year Feb? Okay, so I won't go into all the details, but actually for my family, right, and for my prospective employers, we talk about it. I do think it's a good timing for them also. But for the church, I think I'll elaborate, is that I see it's a good opportunity lah for us, right? Good time for us to hand over. Because in a way, next year, Feb onwards, you realize that schools will probably move in quite a different direction. Okay, how many of you actually seen what's going on that side of the church? That side, right? Yeah, that side. You also saw what's going on, right? So you all know that we are going to build, and as part of that, we want our church to be very different, right? We basically want our church to be a place that we can really allow, like, everyone in this, Queenstown community. Because outside, you also see a lot of building construction, right? So next time, this is going to be quite a happening place. Right, so we really want to see like a lot more people being able to come to our church, new faces, definitely groups of people that you have never really seen in our church before. Right, so with that, I guess Pastor Daniel, at least to the staff lah, has been saying a lot about how we really need to gear up, you know, for a new and exciting season. My dilemma is because from quite long ago, I knew I was going to go ma. So if you have senior pastor who is gearing up and you want to support, but on your end you are trying to kind of hand over, it doesn't quite match lah, right? But I talked to Tina, you know, I talked to Sam, I know that they are different from me, right? They are ready to still go on in this race. So definitely they'll be in a better position to lead than me, right? At least when that new season comes in, no? Yeah, and I also remember that back last year, we didn't confirm the timeline, so we did plan quite a few things together, and my hope is that when I end next Feb, at least I have some time to kind of walk through with everyone, lah, whatever we plan for this year. Right? So I do think that it's quite a strategic opportunity, right, for us, and I actually feel quite good about it, because I remember when I first took over the youth ministry, wow, you know, so many things were not quite in place. Not that things are going to be perfect right now, right? But even some very basic things like our rooms, if you all remember, all those like hawker rooms and all that, right? They were all taken away, right? Come next Feb, hopefully, all the rooms in our here, you know, will be made available. So I think you'll see a very nice new church, and it'll be a good time, right, to have a new pastor in charge. Am I right to say that? Okay, I think it will be lah when I now move on to my next part to tell you who's going to be the next person in charge, right? Which I think by now y'all should be able to guess, who's no stranger to y'all. So, okay, when I hand over, the person who's going to take over will be Pastor Tina. Okay, can we encourage her? Alright. Okay, I won't have much to share, but I think she has a lot to share about her own journey, but we can keep that for next time. But this is, I believe that she's really a good person to lead you guys. I served with her for about 7 years on staff. I can't remember how long, if you plus the other years counting, right, when we are just leaders, right, volunteers. Right, and through the years, I've seen that she has the right character and the right skill set. Right, and in fact, I think for the past few years, she was also the assistant youth pastor. So in many ways, there are a lot of things that as a lead youth pastor, if I can't do, you know, if I need a help, or if I'm not around, she's always the one, who comes in. So I think that it will be, definitely a much easier process, right, for her to take on compared to like, if she's someone who's totally new, lah. Right, having said that, it's definitely still challenging in many different ways, right? So for a short moment that I have, I just want to ask that you guys come and just, whatever you can, right, come alongside to encourage and support her, right? But on another occasion, when I have more opportunities, then I can share that a bit more of how you all can come alongside, right? I thought it'd be interesting also to share what's next for me. Are you all keen to find out? Right? I thought maybe I'll joke with you all, like, I'm getting married, that kind of thing, but I better do now. Okay? Maybe this is a very serious thing. Okay, for me, like I said, the marketplace is a big part of my life. So I assure you guys, right, you won't see me suddenly being hired by another church, right, as a youth pastor. Okay, that's very certain, what I can be very certain about. Right, so I still don't have a confirmed place yet, because right now still going through the stages of a job interview. But if I can get in, then that place actually is in the finance industry. Right, so if you are interested to find out more, you can ask me lah in person. Right, but I just want to share that it's something that I really look forward to. The reason is because like some of my friends, you know, who are working and all that, I talk with them. I realize that they don't really, not that many people think well of the finance industry, you know. I guess because there are also some intricacies to it that makes it like quite a dark industry, so to speak. But actually this is what excites me. You know, when I think about moving out, right, when I first think about moving out, I was really thinking to myself, wow, God, it's like I don't even have like any like professional kind of qualifications. Right, I only have a poly diploma, Bible school degree not counted lah, you know, if you go outside, right? Yeah, so I only have diploma in chemical engineering, and to be honest, my engineering are all throwback already to SP, right? So, Singapore Poly, right? So, I really have nothing much in that sense, not that many years of, can't even say years, right? Not that even that many months of real working experience in the corporate world. So now I have to go out after 10 years. I'm thinking to myself, wow, what can I do? Right? But at that point of time, I did feel a certain assurance from God to say that you just go and do whatever, you know, He opens up, law. Yeah. And don't worry whether you got degree, no degree, lah. This kind of things. So I was quite open to different kind of things. Yeah. So when I came across this open door, I was quite excited, lah. Because first of all, I got no qualifications, you see. Yeah, second of all, like I said, this is a very dark industry. I do feel that if I want to go and do something, I really want to do something that is very meaningful. Hopefully there's a certain challenge to it so that I'm just not going to just cruise by in work, but I can, you know, do well in my job, right? Other than just, of course, we want to, typical Christian things that we say, right? We want to reach out to our friends, but I see there's also importance for us to do well in our jobs. And, to add to that, recently I went back for reservice. And you guys, you all know lah, right? When you wear back your green uniform, right? Somehow you become another person, right? You don't feel like working, you just feel like slacking, yeah. But in this reservice, I had a very difficult choice to make. There was a certain responsibility that was kind of like arrowing around. Came to my turn, I have to decide to say yes or no lah. So I decided to say yes and to do the best I can. Wow, and it was really a visual to me, right? When I hear, sort of like my commander, the way he talked about it, I was like, wow, actually if you were to do your job well, not saying that you don't share the gospel, but even in the absence of sharing the gospel, you can really make a big impact, right? And that's something I want to do, you know, in my, future work in the finance industry. And I'm really just going to trust God for it because I have no qualifications, but I'm so excited. One more thing, yeah, just so I just remembered, is when I talk to the prospective employers, quite interesting. When I ask them, so how are you think I can make it or not? Because I also don't want you all to hire me if I'm not up to it, you see. I'm scared because I don't have the qualifications. So I say, it's okay lah, you know, if you don't have the qualifications, the main thing we look for is the character. Alright, not that competence is not important. But we believe that if you have the right character, then you will have the right character to go and learn. Right? And with that, plus your character needed for things like integrity in our industry, we believe you'll be the right fit, law. So what we are really looking for is the kind of person you are, lah. Right? Remember our vision statement was like, wow, this is a good match, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to apply for the job, right, and see how that leads. If that doesn't, then we'll see how things go lah. But my heart is quite rested lah. You know, at the end of the day, wherever I go, I believe if I set my heart to really being the salt and the light in terms of my job excellence, as well in terms of my testimony, I believe that, you know, somehow God will work through for me. Right? So that's more for my vocational part. There's also one small bit that I'm still kind of praying through. That is what else to do in the church ministry after I resign, right? Because after I resign, I should still serve in church. Am I right to say that? Yes? Yes? Pastor Tina gave a very loud yes. Or maybe I should just take it as like, wow, retire from ministry already. Okay, no lah, alright, I don't think that's right. So definitely I will be exploring some form of ministry, if God willing, in the youth, but I don't know how things will go out, turn out yet, you see, because I'm still having to pray through and see how God leads. Right? But I also want to share this with you, more for you to come and support me in prayer. Because the truth is that in the past few years of my life serving here, I think what's really on the top of my mind is what is needed, lah. Right? When I look at the youth ministry, when I look at the church, what are the greatest needs? Right? I started to think about like, what do I do best in, you know, what do I enjoy most? But I feel that in the next season of my life, maybe it's also good to somehow consider that. Right, considering that I've more or less tried quite a lot of things in the church, and I'm also reaching a certain age where it's good for me to specialize. Right, but I'm really not clear, because I think my top concerns, first of all, is to transit the ministry, hand over well. Then second of all, to transit to my new job well. Right, but very soon I'll get there. Right, to just allow the Lord to speak to me how best I can come in to serve. So if I do come in to serve as the youth ministry, I hope you all will welcome me. You don't have to call me Pastor anymore. One of the guys asked me, so should I still call you Pastor Peter or not? You don't have to lah, right? But don't call me Uncle Peter, right, please. Right, just call me by my name. Okay, so I've shared a lot, and just want to check whether I miss out anything. Okay, so I also want to make a disclaimer, right? Because I think today I shared a lot about my life, right? So if you are a guest visiting us for the first time, I ask that you give us the benefit of the doubt. In case you think like, how come this church like that? How come the pastor, you know, the sermon is about his life, you know, his decision. It's not about the word of God, about God. I assure you, this kind of messages I preach once in 10 years, lah. It's my first time, and I guess it'll be my last time, alright? Okay, so just give us your forbearance. Come again next week, right, if you're a guest. Right? I also want to mention to you that this is more of a request to you guys. Your parents are important, because one of our ministry principles is that we are not the king over your lives, you see, even though we take our role seriously. So we partner with your parents to disciple you. Right, so it's also important for your parents to know about this. But of course, I'm not the senior pastor lah. I won't go to main service and just take up the whole time to talk about this. So as the best as I can, my main mode is that we made an announcement at the adult service. We didn't say basically what, but we asked for parents of youth to actually take up a letter, right? In which, in the letter, I explain something more in depth about my moving on. Right, so, you know, sometimes people wouldn't read too much in the announcements, they may not have taken it up, but because, you know, communications fly here and there, your parents might know about this much later, or through someone else, and sometimes it might not be a good feeling lah, to know about it through some other channel. So I ask for your help here. You know, I know from some parents that you all might go back home and like parents ask you, so what did the pastor talk about? You all just like, oh, something about the Bible, lor. Right, then your parents might be like, of course we know it's from the Bible. Okay. In this case, I do ask for your help, that if your parents ask you, you know, or if your parents ask you like, hey, Pastor Peter going off, those kind of things, right, you just give an one-word answer. Right, you try to help them understand that Pastor Peter actually has used a proper time, a proper platform to address all of you. But of course, in case you can't explain what I explain, right, just ask them to listen to our online sermon, right, that will be made available from Tuesday onwards. Okay? Right, but now back to this whole aspect of really what's the most critical thing. I just want to kind of round up by saying that I want to encourage all of you, right, even though it's sort of like an announcement message, but I hope you all catch the heart of what I'm trying to communicate to all of you, lah. right? Whether is it my decision to start serving as a leader, as a pastor, or whether is it my decision to resign and move on to something else, right? All these decisions, by God's grace, is made, right, with the whole framework of God's mission. And the only way I can live a life like that is because I have God's word, right, that shows me that at the end of the day, there's really a bigger picture for us, right? It's not about our lives, our comfort, etc., right? But how do I get that? It's really through God's word, law, right? Because I know that some of us might be sitting there and you might be sensing something in your heart that God is prompting you to do, you know, or to be. But sometimes, you know, you just kind of, we are quite conditioned to look for the dramatic encounters. We are quite conditioned to look for like burning bush experience, some big name prophet come, and out of like 300 people just point to you and says, Jemina, you have to go to a mission field, right? Something like that. Okay, but actually, most of us don't lah, right? So I hope you hear my story, you are so assured, right? But I do want to encourage you, because sometimes in the absence of all these things, we hesitate, we deliberate, you know, and while sharing with the leaders, sometimes we wait and wait and wait, wait until the cows come home, right? But hopefully that doesn't equals to Jesus comes back lah, right? But can you imagine, like, if you were to really sense something placed in your heart that God is calling you to, and then you wait, and then what if really Jesus comes back? Right? I think at that moment, those of us who reach there will be like, it's really with a heavy heart, right? That it's like, what if I have lived my life differently? Right? So I just want to encourage all of you, don't hesitate, alright? If you know certain decisions need to be made, make it. Right? But having said that, I'm not asking you to anyhow randomly make. But you know it, right? If you really cultivate a lifestyle of studying God's word and allowing His word to instruct you on the big and small, right? I can't go into the technicalities here, but I think we all will know, lah, right? If you really have a walk with God that is based on scriptures, right? You cultivate that daily more and more as you grow older, you will be clear about it, right? So that's why I want to encourage for all of you. And in a moment's time, I'm going to just pray for you as I close, right? But as I do that, I want to pray specifically for you guys in the aspect of whatever God is calling you to do, right? So whether is it in a full-time ministry, because maybe some of you here might be called to the full-time ministry, whether is it in the church or overseas missions, maybe you are scared or what, right? I want to pray for you. Because I think that not everyone will be called, but it is a special calling, right, nonetheless. Right? And even though right now I'm exiting it, but I would still say it's really a very special calling, right, that we can have. For those of you who are in your marketplaces, I also want to pray for you. Maybe there's really something God is stirring you. Perhaps especially in the way that you conduct your business or the way that you go about your schoolwork. Right? And last but not least, I also want to pray for you in the aspect of your what is called the lay ministry. That means I see that every one of you can actually serve in a church in some capacity, right? And we believe in your potential, but perhaps once again you are scared, you look at your leader and you think that you're not good enough, right? Same thing, right? Whatever I shared with you today, I hope that can give you the assurance that comes from God's word, right? So I think this is a prayer that I can pray for every single one of you here, because it is definitely, right, and broad enough to encompass all of you here. One additional group I want to pray for are the leaders, right? Because in this time of change, it's going to be a lot of things that the leaders will have to come alongside Pastor Dina, you know, to support, and it might be a more challenging time, right, for them. So I also want to pray for them for that. Is that okay? Are you still with me? Yes. Okay, so I will just end off this service this way, lah. I thought about it. Not that easy to end this kind of message, right? But I think this is the best way, and it's also something that I sincerely want to do, right? Being able here to bless all of you. I do have certain people that I want to thank and appreciate, I guess there are also people who want to appreciate me, right? But this is not so much of a farewell service. It's more of an announcement. Don't worry if you want to do that. We have a date, I guess, early next year for me to appreciate you, right? And for those of you who want to do anything, vice versa, right, can do that. Okay, but if not, then why don't we just stand as we end this time? And let's just open our hearts to God. And before I pray for you, maybe just take a moment for those of you who identify, like whether is it in your sense of call towards like serving in the church, whether as a member or a full-timer, or whether is it sensing a call, right, for God to lead you to serve in some capacity, to give in some capacity to your family, to your schools, your workplaces. Right, let's just take this time to allow God to really affirm that. And if you know it has been an area of struggle, an area of fear, you can also take this time to commit to the Lord. Alright, so I'll just give you a moment to do that. And then after that, I'll just pray for all of you. Let's pray, shall we? Right. And if you sense that there's a need for kind of responding to the areas that I pointed out to, maybe you can just, wherever you are, quietly lift up your hands in a posture to surrender and to receive as I bless you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up our lives to you, Lord. Once again, I ask that this will be a time for us to reflect upon you, upon your word, upon your call over our lives. Father, even tonight, though the message is atypical, but I ask that you use it to really speak deeply into our hearts, O God. So for our friends here who, Lord, they don't know that you are actually calling them, that they know that you are actually drawing them into something, but there's maybe fear, maybe there are worries, maybe there are doubts, there are a sense of inadequacy. Lord, in whichever areas of their lives this might be in, I just pray that, Lord, would you just speak to them, O God. Just like how you have spoken to me, Lord, I pray that you speak to them, Lord, through your word, through the inner prompting of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And even if you desire, Lord, to use miraculous signs and special words, dramatic encounters to speak to them. But Lord, in the absence of all that, Lord, I pray that for everyone here, the day in, day out, as we learn to walk with you in obedience and walk with you in submission to your word, that we will grow in that sense of clarity of who you are in your call. Lord, so that at no point of time would we just allow our own sense of uncertainty or fear to cripple us from living to the life that you call us to be, from being the kind of people that you call us to be, O God. So I thank you, Lord. Father, even though my time with these young people, the intensity, etc., will be drawing to a close, but Lord, I know that from day one, you have always been the one who is sovereign over their lives. You are their God. And for all the areas, Lord, of our lives that is yet to be nurtured, that is yet to be formed, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Lord, and trust them to your hands, and ask that you continue to walk with them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I remember the time, like how you have helped me even to take over this youth ministry, and to know that even while there are difficulties, but you are sovereign. So I want to pray especially for the leaders, the pastors, Lord, Tina and the team who's going to help the way forward, that Lord, that you assure them, Lord, of who you are, that you assure them, Lord, of your continual sovereignty over this ministry, that everyone here will know that even in the new season to come, they can grow in faith and to desire more of you, to lead them to be a church that truly fulfills your calling for even this church of God. So we thank you. And all God's children say, Amen, Amen. Thank you so much for leaving me this time just to share with you. And so God bless you. Have a blessed weekend. And we'll see you next week. All right.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.